When a man loves God first more than his wife is the beneficiary. And when a woman loves God more than her husband is the beneficiary. That's what that was about. Thank you. We're going to read from Psalm 139 in a moment, but before we do, we have a fairly important announcement that some of you are aware of and some are not. There are people in this congregation who want to be baptized, who are thinking about it and considering it, and we had to make a decision. We're going to move our baptistry, and I'll tell you why. But before we do that, there are people who donated, and we're going to keep everything about the initials are, you know what their initials are, who donated all the things that help us with the baptistry. But we're going to try to get it out. I don't know if we have a date or not yet. What's the date?
Wednesday, 7:00.
If anybody wants to help. But I saw them bring it in. We had to take out the wall and everything. So it's going to be interesting. Wednesday, after Bible study, we'll take it out. And the contractor said, once we get it out, he'll move it over there. But here's why we're doing it. The contractor said, if we take this baptistry out and take it over there to use it, it will save us $10,000. So that's why. We're not taking out to hurt anybody's feelings. Taking out because of stewardship of the stewardship of what God wants us to do. Okay. Lord, you've searched me and known me. By the way, if you have good back and good pipes, you want to come at 7:00 Sunday, I'll watch you move it.
Wednesday
at 7:00. And I'll watch and I'll pray and I'll cheerlead. Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my uprising. You understand me afar off. You surround my path, lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue. Isn't that interesting? You never say anything but what God knows what you're saying. You see behind me, before me. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Our sermon today is about God being everywhere. And this is King James. Sometimes we read NIV. We got folks with both. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. Make my bed in hell, you're there. Take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there your hand leads me, your right hand offends me. If I say their darkness will cover me, the night shines, the night shall be bright about you. And this is intriguing. The darkness doesn't hide me. The night shines as the day. Darkness and light, verse 12, are alike. There are people who do things when it's dark and they think God doesn't see because it's dark. The Bible says that light and dark are the same to God. You possess my reins. Now, think of this in light of America and abortion right now, okay? You've covered me from my mother's womb. I'll praise you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret. God knows the DNA. God knows what science calls tissue. God says it's a baby. Okay. You know this. My eyes saw your substance. And just keep reading if you want. But as we sang earlier, search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me, know my thoughts. If there's any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139 is awesome. If you're a guest here today, we've been going through the Psalms since groundbreaking because we feel that we need to praise God and thank Him for what's going on. And so we're going through the Psalms. And this is Psalm 139. And the bottom line of Psalm 139 is that God's everywhere. God's everywhere. So let's start with this. How many people this morning ever had a time in their life when a child has said to you, Mommy, Dad, where's God? You have anybody? Where's God? And mom will say, well, he's in heaven. And if you have a child like my child, he would say, well, they told me in Sunday school that Jesus is in my heart. If Jesus is in my heart, and Jesus is God, and God's in heaven, how's that work? And that's when you tell your child, take a nap. Or do your homework, or your chores, or break time, or something. There are three omnis. It's not a car. About God. Omniscient means, by the way, omni means all. Omniscient means he knows everything. Omnipotent means he can do anything. He's powerful. And the one today about Psalm 139, omnipresent, he's everywhere. So if he's omniscient, God knows what needs to be done. He's omnipotent, that means he has the power to do what needs to be done. If he's omnipresent, that means he can be where he has to be to have it get done. So today, Psalm 139, read it. Awesome, awesome passage. You can't go anywhere and get away from God. That's what it's about. But before we go any further, I want to make a side note here. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Satan is not. Okay? Satan can't be everywhere. That's why he has his own demons and his own messengers, his own angels to serve him. Because Satan is a created being, and all created beings cannot be everywhere. Only God can be everywhere. And this is hard for us to understand, because when we talk about omniscience, some of us know things, so we can always think of someone who knows more than we do. When we think of omnipotence, some of us have power, but we can always think of someone who has more power than we do. But as soon as we say he's everywhere, we understand that, because we can't be in two places at one time. Even if you're a mom, soccer mom or whatever, you can't do that. So, many lessons. I think we'll get done before the kickoff of the NFL today. Somehow. Let's look at the first one. God cannot be contained, because he's everywhere, God can't be contained in a building. We've talked about this before, so we won't spend much time on this. But we don't contain God here. And if the Lord blesses us to move over there, we don't contain God over there. And the problem with that is when someone thinks that we contain God in a building, then they think they're going to come and meet God. And when they leave the building, they think they've left God. And the week is mine, and everything is mine, and I'm away from... No, God can't be contained in a building. The Bible says that God does not dwell in a temple made with hands. Acts 17 says that. So, agreed, God can't be contained in some walls. It's a tiny God if you think you can keep God in a building. Shame on us for thinking that way, because I know it's easy. When we leave this place, we've left the presence of God. No, we haven't. No. Second, and this is interesting, God can't be localized in a city or a nation. We have this thinking that God's an American. God's not an American. Because we think that our morality is higher than the morality of other nations, we think that we're the ones that God's like American. Well, by the way, our morality is sinking lower than the morality of many other nations. There are nations that don't abort babies, and there are nations that don't sell baby parts, and there are nations that traditional marriage is still what their nation allows. And pretty soon, although we think we're a Christian nation, pretty soon we might not be able to call ourselves a Christian nation. Really, really sad. But God's the God of everybody. He's the God of the Hindu who thinks there are 200,000 gods. He's the God of everybody in the Middle East. He's God. He's not just America. Third, God can't be reduced to an image or a statue, because he's everywhere. And this is pretty dangerous. We think, well, God said in the second commandment, you shall make unto you no graven images. But pretty soon, if we're not careful, we'll start worshiping what Jesus looks like and pictures and so forth to aid our devotions. Be careful with that, because God's bigger than a picture. He's much bigger than what we... As a matter of fact, I think God on purpose kept people from knowing what Jesus looked like, because if they knew what he looked like, they'd worship the size and the hair color and the eye color, and that's how people are. And he's bigger than that. Fourth, God is not always present, whether we believe or not. He's always present. If you don't think he's present, he is. If you don't feel like he's with you today, he is. It doesn't matter how you think, God is with you. And some of you are old enough, remember, I look around and see somebody who's old here. Remember when the Russians went up into space? Yuri Gagarin, the Russian cosmonaut. He said, I went everywhere and looked for God and didn't see him. Anybody remember that? And we sent a man up in space. He came back and said, I looked for God and I saw him everywhere. One of my favorite statements was in the Russian up there, said, I looked everywhere for God and didn't see him. One preacher said, take off your spacesuit for 10 seconds and you'll see him in a hurry. That's pretty cool. I kind of like that. So he's everywhere. Whether you feel like he's everywhere or not. And here's the fifth one. God's present in the worst moments of our life. You know, we have people here who've gone through a lot. And God's with us when we're sad. God's with us when we're sick. God's with us when we're disappointed. God's with us in a divorce. God's with us when someone is sexually abused. God's with us when someone loses their job. God is with us through heartache. God is with us through earthquakes. God's with us through... It doesn't matter what happens to a person. God is with us. Amen. All the time. Can't avoid that. He's with us. Good days, bad days. And you, if you're like me, having a bad day, I wonder if God's on vacation and he forgot me today. No, he didn't do that. God's with us on bad days. When you're hurting, God's with us. Sometimes we don't like to hear that. When someone's going through tragedy, God's with you. Well, I don't feel like it. You know, I've been in the hospital with someone. I read Romans 8:28. All things work together for good, those that love God. And they said, I don't want to hear that. Because I don't feel that way today. Yeah, he's with you. You can't get away. Adam and Eve tried to hide and couldn't do it. You can't hide from God. You can't get away from God. Next one. God is available 24/7. This is so cool. God's not too busy when you call his name and pray. He's got time. You can't think, well, you know what? He's got that Middle East situation going on, so he hasn't got time for my prayer. Yes, he does. And I found this. I hope you don't mind me doing this. This is amazing. Here we go. Must be somebody mine. This was a hotline that a mental health at the hospital put up if you call the hotline. Here goes. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 over and over and over again. We're not done. If you are codependent, have someone else press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know who you are and what you want to do. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. It's funny. If you are delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership that's coming to get you. I liked it better than you like it, apparently. If you're schizophrenic, listen and a small voice will tell you what number to press. If you're dyslexic, press 9696969696. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. And my favorite, the last one. If you have low self-esteem, hang up because no one here wants to talk to you. I did that because that's not God. If you want to talk to God, you can talk to God anytime. Amen. Central's never busy. You're never going to get put on hold when you want to talk to God. He's a 24/7 God. Next. You and I can rely on him no matter how desperate our situation might be.
Amen.
People can't be two places at once. But God can. Many times in my ministry, in my life, I've had two people, different hospitals in different towns, having surgery. And I've had people call me up and say, Justin, why weren't you there when I had surgery? We do our best. We just do our best. I've also had a man, his name was Orrin Aker, who was passing away. He was a godly man, had 8 children, they were all in church. And he had a heart attack. And I went to see him. And here's what Oren said. Why are you here seeing me? I know the Lord. If the Lord calls me home, I'll be okay. Go see someone who really needs you. Those are the two extremes, of course, about people who are demanding someone to be two places at once. And I'm going to be real transparent here. There was a time I wanted to see Danny when she was in the hospital, and I couldn't see her for a while because I had an infection, a blood infection. I didn't want to give it to her. I felt so bad, but I knew that I could pray for her where I was, and that would be fine. So God is there regardless of our situation. Let's go to our second point. God can be ignored, but he can't be avoided. As a matter of fact, many people, multitudes of people, are ignoring him. But you can't avoid him. Well, there are a lot of names for God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rohi. One of the things that Moses calls God in Genesis 16 is El Roi. And El Roi means the God who sees. The God who doesn't miss a thing. And I'm not sure if I gave her this passage or not, but we said Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. Notice at the end of time, in the book of Revelation, what people, can I give you that? I gave you the passage. It says all sorts of people, rich men, poor men, kings, captains, princes, slave and free. When Jesus comes back, they're going to try to hide from God. And they're going to ask mountains to hide them from God, and they won't be able to hide them from God. Can't do it. So let's get this personal and applicable right now. You can't say anything but what God knows what you said. You can't even think anything without saying it but God knows what you thought. You can't cheat on your income taxes without God knowing you cheat on your income taxes. You can't swear under your breath without God knowing that you swore under your breath. You can't do that. There's nothing you can do that escapes God. That's why we all should be thankful for the blood of Jesus that saves us from all this, because who wants God to remember everything? He'll forget it if we're under the blood of Jesus. By the way, do you know right now, folks, that Jesus makes people nervous? Do you know that? A boy in school, I think he was sixth grade, the class was asked to write an essay on someone they admired, and he chose Jesus. And the teacher said, you can't write about Jesus. Because if you write about Jesus, you have to find out from the Bible, and the Bible is not a historically accurate book, so you can't write about Jesus. The parents went to the principal, and the principal said, it's okay. And the teacher relented under pressure. By the way, a person who says the Bible is not an accurate book is being ignorant. Because the Bible is a very accurate book. It's one of the most accurate ancient books in existence. But the principal relieved the pressure, and the young man wrote about Jesus in his essay. But here's what I want to ask you. What if you wanted to write about Muhammad? No one would say anything. Muhammad doesn't make people nervous because he's dead. What if you want to write about Buddha? You can write about Buddha because he's dead. But Jesus makes people nervous because Jesus lives. Amen. And he's alive. Yeah. Good. And just for your information, just I don't know how else to say it, but to say it. When our president went to Georgetown University to speak in a big hall, in that hall, there was a cross behind him. Have you ever seen IHS, those letters on a cross? IHS are the Greek words for Jesus, the letters for his name. Before he spoke at Georgetown University, the White House sent an order to take that cross down before he spoke. Because Jesus makes people nervous. If Jesus makes people nervous, you ain't seen nothing yet. When he comes back, people are going to be really nervous. People who don't know him. What's today? Huh? What's the date? September what? Is that it? September 20th? When you say 2015, you're acknowledging Jesus. Because it's the year of our Lord, 2015. Here's a quarter. Okay. If you do that, it's a quarter pounder. I'm really sorry. Really sorry. Bad. Just hang in there. We're going to get through this. It's a quarterback. Okay. Come on, folks. Listen. It says 2004. When you take out a coin, you look at the coin and read the date, you're acknowledging Jesus. Your calendar acknowledges Jesus. Atheists and agnostics might not like it, but when you say the date, you're acknowledging Jesus. You can't get away from Jesus. He makes people nervous, but it doesn't matter. You can't. Your dollar bill has a date on it. When you look at the date on the dollar bill, you're acknowledging Jesus. We better go on. God promises to draw near to anyone who draws near to Him because of His presence. Did I give you the chapter in Deuteronomy? No. Well, is there more? There it is. Moses said, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." Thousands of years ago, he said, God won't ever leave you or forsake you. How many people here have ever been to a service, a religious service, where in the program that said invocation? You ever been in invocation? Where the rest of you been? Invocation. You know, okay. Graduation has invocation. So far, they might get rid of that someday. Okay. What's an invocation? What kind of prayer? An invocation is a prayer asking God to come. Stay with me. How do you ask God to come when He's already there? Carl, would you like to come in the sanctuary? He can't. He's already in the sanctuary. Joy, you can't come in the sanctuary because you're already in the sanctuary. If you come to my house for dinner, I can't say in the middle of my house, why don't you come in my house? Because you're already in my house. So invoking God to come, and I think I understand that people just want a special blessing. That's okay. But you can't ask God to come where He's already been, where He already is. There's a passage tucked away in 2 Kings where the armies of the enemy are surrounding God's people, and the servant says, "We're in trouble. Look at these armies." And Elisha said, "Look, open up your eyes. There are more who are for us than who are against us." And he opened up his eyes and he saw all sorts of people around. And that would be good for us to realize that God is so much for us that the people who are against Christianity don't have a chance. Because God's so much for us. He's for us here. He's for us. He's just for us. So, if He's everywhere and He draws near to us, is God with you at work?
No.
Is He with you at the hospital?
No.
Is He with you in a foxhole?
Yes.
Is He with you in a bunker when someone's shooting at you?
Yes.
Was He with you when you're jumping out of a plane?
Yes.
Was He with you when you had a baby? He's always with us. Almost done. It's a great psalm. God planned everything about you and I. This, if you mark up in your Bible, mark this down. I mean, there's so much about how God knew us when we were in our mother's womb, and how God knew our substance. He knew our DNA. He knew everything about us that made us who we are. But I want to correct something in a hurry. Don't go around saying, "I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I haven't got any gifts, I haven't got an ability, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm no good, I can't help anybody." Because God made you. And He made you special. And He made you unique, like no one else. If there are some things that you can change about yourself that are changeable, that's up to you if you want to lose some weight or do to take care of your body better than you have been. But the things that about you that are unique that no one else has, Don't you apologize for who you are, because when you put yourself down, you're putting down your Creator who made you. Don't do that. He loves you and He made you special. Well, I'm ugly. No. God made you with special characteristics. Not only did He say, God, You knew me in my mother's womb, and You knew my reins and everything and my substance, but He also... Now, this is what's so sad about abortion, and I know people have come up and said, Justin, I'm so tired of you talking about abortion, but we're going to talk about it again. This is what's so sad about it, because every baby, God had a plan for. Every single baby. Not only did He know them in the womb, not only did He know their substance, He had a plan for them. I was intrigued to read about the Great Depression in Ireland years ago, because there were people out of work. This gets me. Because there were so many people out of work, the government decided to hire people to build roads in Ireland. So people had jobs and they built roads. Eventually, they found out that the roads they were building weren't going anywhere. They were dead ends. They end up in a swamp. And one person said, it is so hard to build a road, it doesn't go anywhere. That's why it's important for you and I to understand that every human life has purpose. That's why people take their lives and commit suicide, because they think, I have no purpose. God designed you in your mother's womb and had a purpose for your life and a plan. And humans, through their selfishness, have destroyed that. We have one more thing to do, and we'll sing a closing song, but this is amazing. How many have read the 23rd Psalm? Okay. Ever read a passage and saw something there you didn't see before? Boy, it happens to me all the time. God just blesses me with that. Well, I'm going to tell you a story, then we'll look at the 23rd Psalm. So get your Bible ready, Psalm 23, or your iPod, or whatever you use, which Bible. Psalm 23. Okay, let's suppose that there's a mom, and her son's in the military. Just put yourself in these shoes. If your son is overseas, and you're the mom, you talk about your son's, you say, when Tommy comes home, he will fix the window. When Tommy comes home, he will work in the garden. When Tommy comes home, he'll sit at the table and eat with me. When Tommy comes home, I will embrace him. He will. Then, Tommy comes home. And when he comes home, Mom doesn't say, he will. She says, you. Are you with me? Please, somebody say you're with me.
Yes.
Okay. You don't say he, you say you. You are here. You hug me. You work in my garden. You help me with dishes. You don't say he. Now look at Psalm 23. This is awesome. Because one of the most important things to know about God is everywhere is that He will be with us when we die. Unless Jesus comes, we all will do that. Now look. I'm going to go quickly. I assume that you're following. Here we go. Verse 2, He makes me lie down green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. He, third person, He. Now look at verse 4. Walk the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil for you. It goes from He to you. Why would that happen? Because when we die, He's not someone who's going to come. He's someone who's with us and walks with us. Through the valley becomes you. The shepherd doesn't walk ahead of the sheep now. The shepherd walks with the sheep when the sheep need the shepherd. So, praise the Lord for a God who's everywhere. Can't hide from Him. And you should be blessed that when you walk out of these doors, He's with you in your car. He's with you when you recreate. He's with you when you sleep. Can't get away from God. Let's stand. Sing our closing song. Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way. Have thine own way. Absolute sway, filled with thy spirit. Christ only all.
Wow. What a great appropriate closing song. I talked about people who want to get baptized. If you want to do that, we'll find a lake. We'll find a river. We'll find another church that has a place to be baptized. Most of you don't know that I baptized a girl years ago in Lake Superior in January. I didn't hold her on very long. Actually, if you know, you'll realize that the air was colder than the water. And when we got out, we had to wrap up right away. But find me. Don't wait till we get the baptistry over there if you want to find me, and we'll work that out. Gene, did you get these back here? So if you want to, I just need to hear from you. And if you can't get it back to me by Wednesday, call me with the guest names and their addresses, and we'll make sure it works out, okay? Thank you, Father, for this morning, for who you are, how awesome you are, and how patient and forgiving and loving you are. Thank you for being a God of everywhere. Remind us of that as we leave this place, that we just don't leave you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good to be here.